And now, a man who, when told that Prince Philip had died, said he was still alive? Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Did Prince Philip die?
99.
But
yeah.
So
90.
That's an age. That's not a confirmation of passing.
Yes.
He did pass. Today?
Within the last 24 hours.
This may shock you. I actually did know that Prince Philip was still alive. The only reason why I know who Prince Philip is because my wife watches no TV. And so I give her grief that, like, you know, there's like, you got to watch a show here and there. You got to find a show. So she comes to me one day and she goes, okay, I got a show for you. I say, yeah, I'll watch any show you want. Whatever show you want to watch, I'll watch the show with you. Right. Like, we'll have little, you know, mom and dad time. Right. No kids. And she goes, The Crown. I want to watch The Crown.
I've heard good things.
So I have watched the first two seasons and episode one of season three, which is where the cast changes and they make the queen older.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has not gone back for season three, episode two since. Could be I pissed her off. That could be. That absolutely could be. Maybe she's watched the whole thing when I'm not around. You know, maybe she's through all four episodes. But 21 episodes of The Crown, and so that's the only reason why I know who Prince Philip is. That is, I do have it right. That is the husband of the Queen of England.
I think I don't know. He's the.
You don't know?
I honestly
you
don't.
You asked that question? I'm 99% sure that's who it is.
What I saw, he was listed as
99.9. That's who it is, Kay.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Prince Philip, husband of Queen Elizabeth II, yes. The Duke of Edinburgh. There are just so many. But yeah. I also saw Duke of Edinburgh. I'm like, wait a minute. What is what over there?
Well, because I've seen The Crown, I know that that Duke thing was something kind of trumped up to make him worthy of marrying the Queen.
Duke is Duke. And from the things I've heard of Prince Philip, he needed some things to kind of build him up.
Really?
Because if most people, I think, if my memory is correct, most people, Brits, thought Prince Philip was maybe not the slickest dude ever to stroll the streets of London. But, you know.
I can see that. I can see
2 months shy of 100. That's a good run.
Wow. That is. Absolutely. All right, it is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A lot going on today. We'll keep you on top of what's going on at the Masters. Rose still out in front at 7-under. He's done with his round today. Thomas Leishman Finau at 5-under. Weisberger at 4-under. That is where we sit as we speak. Leishman in the clubhouse with a 67 today, 5-under, and 5-under is where he sits. Finau's 5-under, he's on 15, so Thomas is on 15. Weisberger's in with a 66 today at 4-under. So he was in that mix of guys that were 2-over yesterday, Kay, that now comes in at 4-under. So we'll keep you up to date with that. And, of course, we will go live to Nick and Jake's. Todd Lebo's there. Nick and Jake's always a celebratory location when it comes to the Masters. So we'll check in with Todd Lebo later this hour. Danny Unleashed. But we will not talk golf. We will not allow Danny to talk golf on a Masters Friday.
Rudy has the dump button ready to go.
Yeah. Just to be cruel. Right? There's no real reason. I mean, we just don't want to let Danny at it. And
Danny,
I know the U.S.
Leashed.
Open is his. Yeah. Danny will be leashed today. And not allowed to talk golf. Now, I'm sure we'll talk some Masters with Danny Klingscale coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Two-minute drill at 4. We'll touch base with all the folks around the country, wherever the biggest stories are happening. David Leske from Inside the Crown talking some Royals baseball here in the 4 o'clock hour. In the 5 o'clock hour, of course, the voice of America. And a lot more.
Yes.
The voice of Campbell's Chunky Soup, the voice of NBA 2K21 and all the other NBA 2Ks, the voice of Fanatics, the voice of NBAShop.com. Did I say Campbell's Chunky Soup?
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
And the face, nay, the voice, nay, I say the face of Great Clips. How about that? You know,
the hair of Great Clips.
when you have that kind of swag, you're a big deal. Yep. So we'll talk to the big deal coming up in 5 o'clock at the great Kevin Harlan with us to take us home in the 5 o'clock hour. So a lot going coming your way. Let's talk some Royals baseball. Royals lose. Last night was the first game where you're like, that's just not good. That was a bad game. Look, there's nothing wrong with, you know, losing to Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn is a big-time strikeout pitcher, one of the biggest strikeout pitchers in baseball here over the last couple of years, as a matter of fact. 200 Ks in 2019, I think he had. I definitely didn't have it last year. That'd really be something, wouldn't it? If you had...
That would have been an accomplishment.
He had 200 Ks last year in 61 innings.
That's an all-time record, strikeouts per nine, 35.
Yeah, that would be that would be impressive. But the Royals offered little resistance, and now, dare we say, we have to discuss where they're at as far as the hitting. We were excited for this lineup, but they have now scored three runs or less in each of the last four games. Curtis, I'll put it to you. What's your level of concern for this offense?
I'm going to put it at about a 5. I think we knew that they weren't going to do what they did the first two games because they weren't going to face the guys they faced in the first two games, and that just isn't – no one's ever done that. The correction came a little faster than I thought it would, though. So I think overall they're probably not a deep enough lineup to sustain a well above average offense for any length of time, but man, it's okay to knock around or at least get to a good pitcher. I get it. Shane Bieber won a Cy Young and Lance Lynn's really good, but you can muster an attack at some point. I mean, that what they did yesterday is what bad offenses do against guys like Lance Lynn, and that's not a good trend. The trend is not going well.
My rule of thumb at a ball game is if you lose a game 4-3, it's the offense's fault. You lose a game, 6-5, it's the pitcher's fault. In other words, the offense needs to get to 5 runs or more. If they get to 5 runs, they've done their job.
Yeah.
Right? And really in modern baseball, that we might even need to take that up a little bit higher. But that's 810 runs over the course of a season. Right? So 5 and better is offense got it done. 3 and less is pitching got it done. And you could probably make it. I like there to be a no man's land where it's like, okay, 4 runs, you're kind of either side. If you lose 5-4, well, I'm not going to jump all.
Then you kind of dig in and figure out specifically what happened in that game.
Yeah. But just rule of thumb, right? If your pitching allows, you should not lose games 3-2. You will, right? You will, but you should not lose games 3-2. And likewise, you shouldn't be losing games 6-5. The pitching didn't get it done. When you get to 5 and don't win, the pitching didn't get it done. And so the interesting thing about the Royals, they get 2 wins. They've won one of their last 4 games. But in their last 4 games, they have not scored more than 3 runs. Lost 7-3, won 3-0. Brilliant pitching. Lost 4-2, lost 6-0. And excuse me. Some of that Hunter Dozier wasn't playing. None of it. Adalberto Mondesi was playing. So there is still reason to believe that offensively they're going to be better as they move forward. But here's the thing that's jumping off the page. We know that by getting Andrew Benintendi and Carlos Santana, they were really trying to improve the on-base percentage. And boy, did they. 8 walks in the first two games. 8 in the first one, 4 in the second one. 12 walks in the first two games. 8 in the first one, 4 in the second one. So you go, okay, progress is promised. Like, that on-base thing is working. In fact, they had 12 walks and they had 12 strikeouts. 8 walks, 8 strikeouts, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts. And you're like, okay, if you can do that, you're going to be a hell of a team. Last four games, 10 walks. And I'll give you, Rudy, you don't know this number. They've walked 10 times in the last 4 games. How many times do you think they have struck out?
In the last 4?
In the first two, they struck out 12 times. It was 12 walks, 12 Ks. In the last 4, they've had 10 walks, right? And how many Ks?
I know it's a lot just because I know yesterday all the starters struck out at least once. So I'm going to say we're probably looking at 34 strikeouts.
48.
Whew.
48.
That was a little low.
Yeah. In their three losses, right? Let's take out the 3-0 win where they walked 6 times and struck out 9 times. If you take their three losses, 4 walks in 3 games, all 4 of them coming in the 4-2 loss to the Indians that Shane Bieber started. 4 walks, 29 strikeouts. I mean, if you want to know. 39 strikeouts. 14, 14, and 11.
Wow.
So, look, I get it. If Lynn and, you know, Bieber are going to get you, they're guys that really have stuff. So, like, the last two, you know, and then they battled and fought and hung in there and scratched for a run to be in the game with Cleveland and could have even stolen that game that they lost 4-2. So, you know, that's gritty. But it's when, you know, you're getting blown away by guys that aren't that good. When you're not able to get a walk against guys that aren't that good, that's where you have a problem, right? That's where, you know, it's unacceptable. That's what these signings were supposed to be for.
No walks in 8 Ks over 5 2/3 against Jordan Lyles is not acceptable.
Yeah, that's not how that one's supposed to go. Jordan Lyles can't be dealing on you. And likewise, who was the other one? The other one was Logan Allen. Listen, we were talking about this when we were going through the numbers earlier today, and we're like, listen, we follow the game pretty close, and when we got to start, you know, searching for who guys are, you're not supposed to get, you know, smoked in the strikeout department. So, look, they've got a couple of guys coming up against the White Sox that will put you on base. The next two pitchers,
Dylan Cease.
Yeah, Cease. I can't read my own writing. C-E-A-S-E. 4.8 walks per 9 in his career. And Carlos Rodon, who does have big swing and miss stuff, was the number 3 overall pick a number of years ago, 8 years ago. But 3.9 walks per 9. Like, they need to go out and walk 5 times against Cease, and they need to go out and walk at least 4 times against Rodon. And that's over 9. Those guys don't figure to go 9, but they are there. They're erratic, and you have to go to the plate with a game plan that this guy will give me first. And if he's going to give me first, I got to be man enough to take it. And I think it's going to be a big thing. They're at 500. Will this team be above 500 again this year?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But I think that's always a good gauge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will they be below 500 this year?
Yes. I think at some time in the next 2 weeks are going to be both.
Okay.
And then we'll be able to sense a trend as what direction I think the next 2 weeks would go after that. But I think when you're at 3-3, I mean, it only takes a few times. But, I think they're going to fiddle around the 500 mark for much of this season. So I think there could be, even into the post-All-Star break, times where they're above and below.
Yeah, I think this is kind of where they live. And I'm fine if they live there all year, because 500 will have you when you're hot and getting 2 or 3 games above 500. It'll have you talking playoffs. It'll have you thinking playoffs. You'll be legit to think playoffs. When you fall 2 or 3 below, it'll be frustrating, but you won't be buried and dead. Yeah. And I think this team could really, and the town could really use a Royals team that gives them interest, you know, on into the hot months of the year. You know, I if they're going to fall out of the race late. If they're going to be hot for a couple of months, have them early, right? The 83 win team in, was it 2003?
Mm-hmm.
They did not close strong, but that gave us a whole season where we got to enjoy a team that was part of the equation. Look, they're going to hit better, but the lineup is not drawing enough walks, and it's something that has to change. It has to change for this ball club. What is this team? Still to be determined. But I think the stated goal for the organization should be above 500. I think that should be every organization's goal every year.
Yes. Like individual, you know, seasons, yes.
Yeah, so, something needs to go really wrong. Well, man, we had this injury, this one, and this one. That's why we won 77 games, right? Not why we won 57 games. There's no excuse for that. That is an all-around failure. And that means for a couple of years, the Royals absolutely failed when they lost 100 games. It is not acceptable to lose 100 games, even if you're coming off having won a World Series. Now, it doesn't mean you should be fired for it, but it means you made mistakes. There's no way around it. There's no other way to describe what happened than mistakes were made. And so I think that is, you know, just the way that it has to be viewed to understand, you know, are you building a championship club? So, you know, this team can't tank, can't just fall apart. It's now time for them to be judged like a real club. They've come out the other end. Yes, they poured all their resources into winning a championship. They got it. We understand, have to take a couple of big steps back. I think they were way bigger than Dayton Moore thought they were going to be. Fine, but we're now on the other side of that, where that's no longer acceptable. It's now time to get up and get going and make it happen. And that means this year you can't be a turtle flipped over on its back. You have to play some real competitive baseball. And the Royals got to figure out what's going on with Brad Keller.
Yes.
Because the conversation about Brad Keller coming into this year was about getting him signed. And now he's had two outings where it's just really been ugly. Thankfully, Jacob Junis threw BBs the other day. That's helpful. But, you know, Brad Keller's a guy you're counting on to be a horse and to be an innings eater, and he's got to pitch better, right? I did see, what was it, he played golf the other day, somebody on Twitter we were discussing, said that was somehow the problem. If golf is the problem, if golf keeps you from pitching well, then Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, and Tom Glavine have a lot of Cy Youngs to give back.
Yeah.
Because those guys played a lot of golf and won a lot of games. I will say this. It is I know we get frustrated as fans, but, you know, these guys have a life. Just like you have bad days, all of us have bad days at work. We don't go home and sit in a darkened room until the next day at work where we come out, and if we don't do a good job that day, then we go home and again sit in the darkened room. We're not allowed to see our family or friends or watch television because we have to just sit and think about our loss, right? Having a bad performance on the mound is not wetting on the new carpet. Taking Brad Keller's face and rubbing it into the urine-stained carpet is not going to make him pitch better. Now, he's got to work at the craft, fix the mechanics, fix whatever he's doing pitching-wise, and that's the only thing that's going to make it better, right? The Royals are 500. If we'd have said before the season started, six games in, they're going to be 500. They will have scored double-digit runs in a couple of games. They will have seen brilliant pitching by Jacob Junis. They will have seen some power pitching from the bullpen. Will you take that six games in? The answer is yes. You would have taken it six games in, so don't panic and freak out and act like somehow this team that was destined to win the World Series is now gravely disappointing you. This is what the team is. This is what 500 looks like. 913-810-810, Royals, Sporting, Chiefs, KU, K-State, Missouri. Always a topic here in the program, 913-810-810. Play a couple of cuts coming up here. One about the why sports can't figure out the replay rule is beyond me. Give you a little bit on that. Also want to get into some of the comments from one Travis Goff. He was on the Border Patrol this morning. If you missed it, KU fans or Big 12 sports fans, you want to check it out. It's on the podcast at 810WHB.com. We'll get into that as well. Todd Lebo around the corner also. 913-810-810. You're in the program. You listen to the program on Sports Radio 810-WHB. 913-810-810. Talking a little Royals baseball here to get things started. Royals fall back to 500. 3-3. Boys in blue not handling the bats well. They've got a couple of guys that will walk them around the bases. They need to do that. And I think it's important to give this town some hope and some confidence. I think the town's been patient for 3 years, as it should be, after a five-year window where they were competitive for five consecutive years. And I feel, well, they were 500 and one below 500 the last 2 years. Yes, but they were in races going into the fall. And, you know, that's a competitive team. The windows were open for five. That's what it looks like, by the way. And when you build your team unorthodox in an unorthodox manner, which is bullpen before starting pitching, which I know how important the bullpen is, but they didn't have the kind of starting pitching that usually grinds out regular season wins, and one that's a, you know, contact-driven as opposed to on-base-driven lineup, which is, I think, serves you better in the postseason, then it's going to be harder to get into the playoff. They got there twice in 5 years. They cashed both times with American League pennants, once with a World Series. But now it's time. Like, the fans have had their patience, and I think this season cannot go down as some kind of 60-102 type of season. So time to get some things figured out here for the boys in blue. 913-810-810, 913-810-810. Let's talk to Ted. You're in the program, Ted. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Saran, thanks for taking the call. I got a comment on the Royals, and I got one comment on the Chiefs because I fear something happening on both ends. On the Royals, what I was hoping, when Mondesi went down, I was just like, oh, God, here's Mondesi again, you know. And what I didn't want to happen was Isbell and Nicky Lopez, like, competing for the spot. And I was hoping Isbell would get off to a fast start. I know he's been striking out here lately. Because what I fear happening is Mondesi comes back, and I don't have a lot of faith in Lopez, but that's my biggest concern, is that they put Lopez back at
shortstop. Yeah, that's I'm with you. That is a reason to want 10 strikeouts in 20 at what you want, but when he had ball, 286 on base, 350. I mean, that's not enough to say that's our guy. We're set there forever. But I think that's enough to get a young guy in a season that you're still building. That's enough to keep getting him at bats. Can't get much worse than that, to your point. But I think that'll keep getting him at bats here for a little while.
Yeah, I do too. I want Witt at second base. I just think they're a better team with that. And then my fear on the Chiefs is I've heard a lot of talk of the Chiefs trading up to take a tackle. And I don't know what the statistics are, but, you know, DeMarcus Robinson and what he's saying about 1,000 yards and all that kind of stuff. You know, the Breland Speaks and the trade up and the picks that we've given up and the Frank Clark picks that we've given up is why DeMarcus Robinson is still on this team. And I'm not a big fan of his because I think he makes huge mistakes. And I don't want them to give up a fourth and a fifth or a third and a sixth to move up and take a tackle.
Well, look, it's one of the reasons why I would have gone about the offseason differently in the past couple of years. I don't know that, you know, if I were running things that you would have been back in the Super Bowl this year, because I would have tried very hard to trade Chris Jones just because, first of all, if I were running things, Chris Jones would be on this team, but Frank Clark wouldn't.
Right.
That was the first one that I would have done differently. But I can't argue with it because it worked. Now, I did give my guy, Za'Darius Smith, who's played very well for the Packers and, you know, is 30, 40 million cheaper than Frank Clark and was just available in free agency. Now, maybe you would have had to have gone another 10 or 20 million to get him away from the Packers, but when he went from the Ravens to the Packers. But, you know, to me, once you kind of set that emotion, and let's do remember, but I think it's one thing that I remind myself is, look, we can look at the decisions that were made back in 2018 and 2019 before the Super Bowl season, right, going into the Super Bowl season. We can look at them and we can evaluate how they're handcuffing this team right now. Frank Clark's contract is absolutely handcuffing this team. His performance is not warranting the contract he's gotten or the first and third round pick that he gave up. But we have to always acknowledge that when that move was made, it was a different time. It frankly was a different era of Chiefs football. There is a difference in being decades removed from your last championship, which in the teens is where this franchise was, 40 to 50 years removed from winning a championship, and now sitting here and trying to get another. And so the all-in, whatever it takes, mindset was acceptable when you're there. Let's go get a Super Bowl. Also, you're in the first contract of Patrick Mahomes' career, and that's the cheapest he's going to be. So being all in, spending more elsewhere around him to make sure that you give it everything you can to get a championship in the first contract is you know, to me, is an acceptable decision.
Now, I don't have a problem with that. I get what I'm saying going forward. It seems to me that the Chiefs seem to be really good here in those third, fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds, and they've been worse on moving up and giving up those picks on their draft picks. And I don't want them to. I just think they've been really good with those later picks, and I don't want them to give them up.
No, I'm with you. And Ted, thanks for the call, buddy. I've got the exact same view. I mean, I like trading down versus trading up. I believe in what the PFF guys say, that, you know, the draft is lottery picks. There's no such thing as a can't-miss pick, as much as, you know, certainly Brett Veach put his reputation on the line that Patrick Mahomes was one of those guys. And it's you know, probably one of the biggest reasons why, you know, he's the general manager right now. But no, I want quantity of picks. I want more shots, more lottery tickets, more chances to hit with it. And so I agree with you wholeheartedly. But I will say this. Once you go down a road, you don't just operate in a vacuum after that. You don't get to just say, okay, you know what? Now we're not going to go get a left tackle because it's the right thing to do 3 years from now. It is the right thing to do 3 years from now. And if Alex Smith, a guy that you know is not your franchise quarterback, he's just your quarterback right now, is your quarterback, then you can go, we'll just do as best we can at left tackle. But when Patrick Mahomes is your franchise quarterback, there's a little bit more incentive to make sure that you keep him on his feet. And it's not just about spinning the turnstiles and when the turnstiles are spinning again, spinning the turnstiles and selling tickets. It's about keeping, you know, it's about winning. Like, Patrick Mahomes helps you win, and it's about keeping him happy. I mean, these quarterbacks have the kind of power to make you go out and do things you don't want to do. And so I for that standpoint, I'm not going to like it if they trade up for an offensive tackle, but I'm going to understand why they did it. And I will just say, okay, it didn't happen this year, but at some point Brett Veach has got to get to where he is moving down. And I'll say this, if he's they've got an extra, what, Curtis, fourth? I know they picked up another fourth and fifth, or fourth and sixth. I can't remember which it was.
I think it's a fifth. I'll make
fourth
sure.
Fourth and seventh, whatever it was. Anyway, they've got a couple extra picks that they got from free agency. You know, if they have to give up a third and a fourth, then they need to go down in the second and get more thirds, right? If that's what it takes to go get the left tackle, I think they've got to come away with a left tackle somewhere. Do they sign Villanueva? Fourth and a fifth, okay. Do they sign Villanueva from the Steelers? Okay, then now you don't have to go get a tackle. But if they can't get something done with a veteran left tackle, then I think they've got to make sure that they come away with a guy that they feel can start and play at left tackle. And, you know, I'm not going to like it. I wouldn't be doing it. I would have beholden to the big picture route earlier, but I know where they are right now, and that's it's never a bad thing to make Patrick Mahomes happy and keep Patrick Mahomes healthy. That is never a bad thing. So I will readily live with them moving up to get a left tackle. But I will say this, at some point Brett Veach has to start, I believe has to start trading down, not exclusively, but at times. I just don't believe that the best trade is to always go up. Now, if he continues to win championships and he continues to get good players when he moves up, then we're going to have to, you know, revisit that. But I think whoever you think, and anybody who does, like, deep fantasy leagues, you know, or even just regular fantasy leagues, and you're going through your draft, you think you've got to have a guy. And if you do leagues where you can trade up, you'll trade up and get a guy, and you'll find out, wait a minute, there were nine guys who went after my guy who scored more points. What the hell was I thinking? You know, it's always better. You know, the problem is in your fantasy league, everybody's going to have 15 guys no matter what. Your rosters aren't deep enough. Now, if you do the dynasty leagues, you know, it'll start to show as well. There are a handful of guys that are can't misses. If he goes up, he can't miss. You can't end up with a, God, I've already, who was the guy from Ole Miss? DN, they made a linebacker.
Breland Speaks.
No more Breland Speaks for a while.
No.
If you're going to move up, particularly in the first round or in the second round, if you move up in either one of those two rounds, they got to hit. I'm okay with McCole Hardman. Like, that trade worked. I mean, it didn't work as well as DK Metcalf, who you could have stayed where you were and drafted DK Metcalf. But if you evaluate that trade, that move to go get Mecole Hardman has been a productive, explosive receiver that still has ceiling left. You know, I do get frustrated when people act like the Mecole Hardman pick is a terrible pick. The DK Metcalf pick would have been a better pick. But the Mecole Hardman pick has worked out. That trade-up has worked out. The Breland Speaks one is the one that sucks. That's the one that's really
sucks is kind, based on how it turned out.
But I am going to tell you, I will give one, I will say one thing that's a positive for Brett Veach on that, is he's not still on the roster. And that's a hard thing for GMs to do.
Yep.
You know, there are people, you know, that'll say, well, the only reason, you know, Bubba Starling's in the organization is because they used up the number 5 overall pick. It's part of it, but you know, they'd be signing some career minor league athletic outfielder to take a shot on. If it wasn't him, why not your own guy? Right? But how long did, what was that guy's name? Jordan Bell? What was the Bell linebacker the Chiefs
signed
from
Pittsburgh?
From the Steelers?
Kendrell Bell.
Yeah. Kendrell Bell. Like, they kept him around for a couple of years, and that was a disaster.
Kept trying to make fetch happen, and it didn't happen.
Yeah. And I will say this. Like, Veach is going to make other mistakes. He's got to make more right decisions than wrong. He's going to make more mistakes, but once he realizes they're a mistake, he's got to get rid of them. And to this point, he's proven that he will do that. Let's take a break. We're going to go over to Nick and Jake's when we come back. Todd Lebo is there. Always great excitement at Nick and Jake's when the Masters is on. Right now, it is Justin Rose who is in the lead, 7-under, and in the clubhouse, a couple of guys on 17, Spieth and Thomas at 5-under. Giving chase. Leishman, also Finau on 17 is at 5-under. Leishman in the clubhouse at 5-under. That's where it is. Our Masters coverage is brought to you by our friends at Buck Roofing, Edwin Watts Golf Shops, Metcalf Car Star, and Xfinity Mobile, along with M&M Golf Carts, M&M Golf Cars, proud to offer the Onward Club car, dynamic stability, handling, and superior comfort. M&M Golf Cars, they're in Lee Summit. We'll take a break. Lebo next. You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Seren Petro, Curtis Siebold, Jed Marshall out. I forgot to mention Rudy Salazar in running the operation today. Thank you, Rudy, for picking up for Jed today. We go live to Nick and Jake's. Todd Lebo is there. The Masters is off and running. And, boy, everyone's kind of tripped here on this last hole, huh?
Yeah, it's fun down here. We always have a good time. This is the 17th year Sports Radio 810 has been at Nick and Jake's for the Masters. And it's a little different this year, obviously, because we've gone through a pandemic. So there's COVID protocols and stuff like that at the restaurant out here at 135th and Metcalf. But they have their traditional Masters menu. I already had my $1.50 pimento cheese sandwich and my chips. It was very tasty. They've got a drink out here called the Dwight D. Eisenhower Transfusion, which, you know, the Eisenhower tree on 17 at the Masters, so they've always got some good stuff there. I have not had a transfusion because I am working, Seren. I wouldn't have a transfusion while I'm working, but we're having fun out here. If you come out here and check it out, they've got the Masters menu up and going, and during the time that I'm here until 6 o'clock during the Masters broadcast, if someone gets an eagle on 13 or 15, those are the traditional eagle holes on the backside, everyone in the bar gets a $10 gift card to Nick and Jake's, which is outstanding. I remember a few years ago, there was a Eagle Barrage. I think Kevin Timmons told me they did about $6,000 worth of gift cards that day.
Wow.
So we're waiting for an Eagle. We haven't had one yet in the first 45 minutes that I've been here, but we're waiting for an Eagle on 13 or 15. And if that happens while we're sitting here on the air, you'll hear a roar because people are always excited about getting that one done. So it's a good time out here. Nick and Jake's come out here and say hello to us and watch the Masters. This is always a great place to watch sports. They have so many TVs in their bar area. It's well set up to watch that. The food is always great. And if you like a $1.50 sandwich with pimento and cheese, very tasty out here at Nick and Jake's.
Justin Thomas is at 4-under. He just finished his round for the day.
With a bogey on 18. Not
with a
the
bogey,
way
that's what I was talking
in,
about. And Finau bogeyed 18 as well. So they were both at 5-under. Jordan Spieth is at 5-under. Leishman's at 5-under. Rose in the clubhouse at 7-under. Leishman's in at 5-under. Who do you like in the tournament, Todd?
Well, I like Justin Thomas because I think he's ready. It was not a good way to finish, but I think he'll be there for the weekend. It looks to me like Jordan Spieth. We'll see how he goes through the rest of today. You know, he won last week. We'll see how he ends up doing. I don't think it's going to hold up for Mark Leishman. And Justin Rose battled to get back today. He was minus seven yesterday, had a bad front side, and really kind of fixed it on the backside, got back to seven. Maybe he's a guy. I mean, he's been the darling of many from across the pond ever since he came on as a young player. But I got a friend on my text string who just can't stand Justin Rose. And we were texting yesterday, why not? He goes, I have my reasons. I said, okay, all right. So now I don't like Justin Rose either. So there you go.
Well, he was 2 over through 5 yesterday and then played 9 under the rest of the way, obviously, to get to 7 under. At one point he had birdied 4 holes and eagled a 5th in 7 holes, 2 pars wedged in there in amongst that. That's where he really made his charge. I think that started at about 6 through 11 or 12. Is where it was. So he's been better on the back half than the front half. But you know, I don't think he's the guy to take it down either.
No, he's not. If Spieth can do well on 18 and get in at 5, or if he was having a birdie and get at 6, that'd be a really nice spot for him to be heading into the weekend. You know, he's won the Masters before. That was 2015, and he just kind of lost his game for a little while. But he won last week, so I think a lot of people think Jordan Spieth is actually back. We'll see how he does on this bunker shot. Now, see where he is in the bunker on 18. I would get a 12 from there. I don't really like the shape of that shot. We'll see how it goes. Oh, that's probably going to be a par. He could still birdie. That's a nice shot. These guys are, turns out, they're better than me at golf.
Yeah.
That was bad news for me if I'd have made it to that bunker.
Thanks for your honesty, Todd.
I'm horrible at golf. I really am.
So how come we get a guy who will, whether it's Brooks Koepka, but he's battling injuries, with now all the big swinging guys, I think it's going to, and Bryson DeChambeau will be hurt at some point. I'm sure he's going to win a number of tournaments, but he's going to blow out either a knee or a back, or as hard as these guys are hitting the balls now. But why is it that, you know, it's Rory back, what, almost 10 years ago now. Rory comes on, and he's winning everything, and it looks like he's going to be the next Tiger Woods, and it's Spieth, and it's, you know, why is it that nobody has to, you know, can stay up there in the top two or three for more than about a year or two?
Well, I think Tiger was something you didn't see. It's a once-in-a-generation or even more than a generation type of guy who has all the talent in the world but is also insanely driven, right? Forget about all the money and all the fame and all the stuff. Now, he got himself in some trouble in his career because he probably got too big for his own britches. But all he did was go grind in battle and try to work. And, you know, he actually redid his whole swing after he'd already had a career that many would love to have, right? And I just don't think it's there for some of these guys. I mean, it's too easy to hey, you're great, you won a major or two, and you've got all this money, and your life's wonderful. Do you just want to go out there and, you know, hit balls in the range for 4 hours every day? You know, maybe not. I get it. You know, that's like, I kind of think Patrick Mahomes looks like he's going to be that guy on the football side. He's insanely talented. He's got a great bunch of people around him. But he also has probably been watching tape even though his wife was off having a baby. You know what I mean? He's that guy who's driven to go get better and better and better. And that's what I just don't think all these golfers have it in them to do that. And it's just not something that happens for everyone. You could be really talented, but if you're not driven, you know, it's not you'll waste the talent, but maybe you won't get to that full potential of what you could be.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson had 11 consecutive rounds at the Masters under par until yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, and he's
3 over right now. So
they're thinking that could be the cut. I mean, he could be done. We'll see. I mean, DJ is a fantastic example of a guy who's super talented, but he lost his way, had some troubles here and there, and you know, he looks like someone who probably should already have 3 green jackets. You know, the way he hits the ball, but he just couldn't quite get it done. So it's tough to kind of to battle and get yourself through there. And we'll see if one of these guys can ever really reach their full potential and do this. But I don't know if you or I will remember seeing a Tiger Woods-type career for anyone else in our lifetime. Perhaps, but I'd bet against it.
It'll probably be at the end of our lifetime, to be honest with you, because I remember Jack Nicklaus playing. I remember his win at age 46 at the Masters for sure. I don't remember much more of his career. But
yeah, the dominant time of him. Yeah,
yeah. The next one's probably a generation away. All right, tell everybody what's going on at Nick and Jake's again.
Come on out at Nick and Jake's. I'm 135th in Metcalf. I'll be here till 6. The Masters is on. If you're here and someone gets an eagle on 13 or 15 while you're here, and it's on TV, we're going to get you a $10 gift card. We've got the Masters menu, Masters Club for $3, pimento and cheese sandwich for $1.50, egg salad for $1.50. You can get that Eisenhower transfusion. All kinds of fun out here. Come by and say hello, and we'll also talk as the day goes on about some of the stuff they're involved with the local golf tournament that's coming up here in Kansas City. So we'll have lots of fun out here at Nick and Jake's.
Todd, we appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you again a little bit later on.
We'll do it, buddy.
All right, Todd Lebo out at Nick and Jake's, 135th and Metcalf. We'll talk a little golf. We'll also get into some basketball, baseball, a little football, too, probably with Danny Klingscale. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing, is next.
All right, how many NBA franchises have had one player win three MVP awards and an NBA Finals? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.